Hello and welcome to GM Talk, a podcast about GameMaker. I'm Philip Gamble, editor of GameMaker Blog, and joining me, thanks to the wonders of Skype, are a selection of users who will discuss recent GameMaker issues. We have former Yo-Yo Games moderator and creator of games such as Madness, Madness, Madness and Innocuous, Andrew, better known in the community as Nal.
Hello.
Fresh from a pile of insults at the Yo-Yo Games forum, we have DS GameMaker creator James Garner.
Hello.
And Jack, who's worked with Andrew on Get Some Coke and has been getting to grips with Flashpunk.
Hello.
Flashpunk is a free ActionScript 3 library designed for developing 2D Flash games, which has recently been released. Jack, you've tried it out. What do you think?
Well, I've been making a game, and it's very easy to work with, I found it, especially compared to Flixel. Flashpunk is an alternative to that, so I'm finding it a lot easier. It's organised a lot like GameMaker, with separate worlds that are somewhat like rooms in a GameMaker project.
Is it drag and drop or code or a mixture of the two?
It's complete code. That's what ActionScript is.
And what have you been making with it?
I've been working on a flashport of Nal's game, Natuche Path.
Nice pronunciation there.
Thanks. It's been going very well. It's pretty close to the original, with a few drawbacks.
What kind of drawbacks have you encountered?
Well, the angle of the screen couldn't be incorporated because it was too difficult. It's not as easy as just doing view on the sort of angle that I can give me.
Okay, it came out last week, did it? It's quite recent, but I've seen quite a few people talking about it.
Yeah, it came out 2 weeks ago. I think it was Sunday. The forums got over 100 members, and there are quite a few active members, and they're very helpful. And Chevy Ray Johnson, the creator of Flashpunk, has been helping a lot. And there's a couple of games that have already been made for the Flash that have been made in Flashpunk.
Which games?
Easy Name has created a game called Falling Blocks, and that's been released at Congregate, and it's got a few thousand plays and quite good reviews. And a well-known GameMaker user, Electrotron, has been remaking his Jetpod game from GameMaker, and he's made a few improvements to it. And he's released a demo with all 20 levels, but he hasn't fully released it yet, so he has a few things to finish up on.
So it's quite popular with people wanting to remake their GameMaker games to make them playable online?
Yeah. People who have been using GameMaker for a while will find it very easy to work with, compared to other options in regards to Flash development.
I saw there was a Flash version of Nal's RKF game at Congregate. That's not Flashpunk, though?
No, it doesn't appear so, and I think it's been in development since before Flashpunk was released. It's more of just a coincidence.
It's been going for about 3 months now, and it was made in just Flash, the Adobe program.
Right, so it's taken a long time.
Yeah, although I think it's been fairly slow development because the creator was sort of during school and that.
I know she ported the Skydiver map too as well.
Yeah, that was a while ago though.
I thought it was quite an interesting game. I'd never played the original GameMaker one before I'd had a look at the Flash one.
It wasn't very good.
So is the Flash one better?
Yeah.
But there is a bit of a problem with the lag, especially in the later levels. It really gets slowed down, and the point of the game is to have a rhythm going.
Yeah.
And kind of messes it up.
I would agree with you on that. I think that's everything for Flashpunk, unless anyone else can think of something we've missed.
Well, I just want to say the website looks very nice. The pink and dark grey theme is nice on the eyes. And I like the kind of theme of everything.
Next up, we're going to talk about the Game Jolt Rogue Game Competition.
Gnarly hangs out at Game Jolt quite a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know much about the contest because I never really planned on entering it. The entry that I'd started making was just a sort of impulsive thing, and it was absolutely terrible, so I stopped making it.
There's only actually been two entries so far, and the competition ends tomorrow night as well, so I do hope they get some more entries. In their previous ones, they've had quite a few, but...
Yeah, there was like 48 in the last one, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this one's done nowhere near as well.
Because of the Yo-Yo Games competition.
Also, a lot of people are doing exams at this time.
Yeah, the exams is probably a good point, but it's because it's not just Game Maker Games at Game Jolt, is it? So
yeah, but it's majorly Game Maker Games.
Is it? Alright. The two that have been entered so far is Matt Scorer's Flood the Chamber, which was recently featured on Indie Games, and they described it as a mad scientist putting Journey to the Centre of the Earth and Terry's The Letter V five times into an incredible game slicing machine with that coming out. I've had a go playing it. I found it very hard, and I was quite annoyed when I read some people saying they completed it on their first time.
Yeah, I read them comments.
It's just that certain people are good at stuff like that and other people aren't.
Yeah, have you played the game?
I haven't played the game, no. I've played The Letter V six times, not the Flood the Chamber, though.
The other game is Made in Construct, apparently, Jack says, anyway. That I found that better because I could do it, unlike Flood the Chamber, I could actually get somewhere in it and...
You must be a casual gamer.
Yes. I would use that term to describe myself. And Jack posted a link to a game by Zach Banach, which he's abandoned, I presume. But it does look very nice. It's got hand-drawn graphics, and we can see a shark in some water and a little man with a stick. I'm not sure of the details of what the game was, but it does look very interesting. I think the first prize is a game from Steam, isn't it? That's what they normally give out, that, anyway.
Yeah, and the top three games get featured on the front of the website. They often get on Indie Games when they're there, so it's fairly good sort of coverage.
Yes, yeah. I've noticed that things on Game Jolt do seem to get quite a lot of coverage on Indie Games. I think that's how some of the articles I've written have ended up on there. We've just done about the Game Jolt contest, so next we're going to talk about the future of Game Maker on handheld consoles, and I think this is something that James will be quite interested to offer us his opinion on, since he is the developer of DS Game Maker.
Yeah, that's right. Which is an obvious rip-off.
Sorry, can you say that again now?
Doesn't matter.
So where do you stand on that then, Andrew, on the topic at the Yo-Yo Games forums?
I think it's funny. I also think it's stupid. I mean... I guess in a very vague way I can see where they're coming, but it's just stupid.
It has the words Game and Maker in the title, so obviously he's evil, out to copy
Game
Maker.
Yeah, it's a blatant ripoff. Oh, yeah. You can obviously tell that every single piece of code is completely ripped out of the normal Game Maker. It's not an achievement at all that he's put it on a DS. Not at all.
James, do you have anything to say about your experiences at the Yo-Yo Game forums?
I thought it was hilarious when I first saw it for a start. A lot of the claims are obviously unjustified, and I think you are right, Phil, in saying that all of the users there obviously don't think really know what they're talking about. There is no virus included with DS Game Maker. If I'm selling the app, I've got obviously no interest to do that. And there was actually a previous program called Game Maker before Game Maker by Mark Overmars came out, so you can argue that the one by Mark is also a rip-off of that one as well, so... The whole copyright issue is very shady.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of other programs called Game Maker with slightly different spacing in their title.
Yep. That's right.
Thinking about the consoles that Yo-Yo Games may want to port Game Maker games to run on, we've heard that they're going to be focusing on PSP, iPhone and Android-based devices. I know you offered to help with the DS port, but Yo-Yo Games weren't particularly interested.
No, they weren't. I think if they would have been interested, they would have responded to the messages I sent. I put the software on the GNC for a start, and that got many replies. I also sent an email to Sandy and Jim from Yo-Yo Games and posted on Twitter. Didn't get a reply from any of them, so there you go. If they don't want my help, then they don't want my help. Obviously, I'm going to put all my efforts into my own program instead.
Yeah, I think the S is probably harder to port to because of the two screens issue, and it's got less processing power.
Yeah, it does have less processing power, but with DS Game Maker, I think I've sort of proved that it can be done. There's one big limit, which is quite a problem, is the fact that the largest sprite size is 64 by 64 pixels, and there's only 256 colours per sprite. Those are just some technical limits, really, but everything else, you know, no problems at all. I think the way to get around the problem of two screens would certainly be to have the top screen just showing the game logo and everything going on the bottom screen, like a PC window, just like that.
Thinking about what Yo-Yo Games have actually got done at the moment, I think they're only working on the PSP version, which Sandy has said progress on it is going well. On his LinkedIn profile, he said, "In 2010, we'll begin an aggressive strategy to become the world's most prolific publisher of mobile games, focusing on PSP, iPhone, and Android-based devices." So I wondered what your thoughts were about when he says publisher of mobile games.
Well, as far as I'm aware about LinkedIn Games, I think that's more of a corporate network rather than a social network. It's about people who are on there showing their skills to be, you know, other prospective employers and colleagues and things like that.
He put that comment he posted on LinkedIn.
So well, that's the main reason why I would possibly question the authenticity of it. The fact that he's going to have some sort of big scheme, and we're going to be the world leader in things. I'm not quite sure that's true. I'm not really sure either how much progress they've made on the PSP port as well. I really, to be honest, wouldn't believe that, because PSP isn't an easy console to develop for. The homebrew scene certainly isn't as developed as the others. So I don't know. Mobile games wise. Presumably they're talking about mobile phones, do you think?
Yeah. I think they probably have got along with the PSP version, because Sandy did mention something about it a very long time ago, and I was bombarded with comments from people saying, "Oh, have you seen Game Maker on PSP?" But we didn't really have anything to write about it then, because all we knew was that Sandy had commented about Game Maker on PSP. But if they've been working on it for the past 6 months or so, they
should have someone. I did see that. I think it was just the logo, wasn't it, on the loader? Which isn't really anything special, you know. I think they can quite easily take any Game Maker game and port it to any other console. It's actually porting the Game Maker engine, so that any game will work then. That's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, I doubt all games would work on all consoles, whatever they do.
But when people say that it's not going to work on a certain console because there's no DirectX, it doesn't run Windows, that's not really a limit, because if you were to create games on that console, DirectX is to Windows, so you'd use whatever they've got for that console is available. So I think, really, Gamer can be ported to any console in the world, if it's done right. It just depends how efficient the Game Maker code is. That's the question.
Do you have anything to say, Jack or Andrew?
I agree with James about the fact that it's nothing really special, and I don't think that they're going to be the most prolific publisher of any of those devices.
Well, obviously that's their aim. They're not going to get it overnight, are they?
No, well, that's my aim as well, isn't it? You know, it's everyone's aim to be some big leader, but I don't think they're going to get any big industry backing, as I'm not going to get any backing from Nintendo or anything like that, so they're going to have to achieve it all themselves, and, you know, game makers and very widely used products in professional game creation, which is a target, which is an industry they're going to have to target if they want to achieve that.
I think they will be able to get the backing, financial or otherwise, that they need, because they do have a lot of, if you look at their shareholders, a lot of them have done lots of big things in the past and have had high ranking jobs.
Why are they in debt then?
Well, because they've been spending money on investing in the, I don't know what they've been spending all their money on. If I knew that, it'd be a lot easier to write stuff on Game Maker Blog, but obviously, most companies won't make profit in the first 2 or 3 years. So, if they're just trying to develop the software, maybe when they get out onto, they're trying to profit from having games on mobile devices.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, actually, because the overheads of running a game design company, or even a company which just makes Game Maker, is actually very, very small. And it will cost them peanuts to run the business, and for me, it costs me $25 a month for web hosting, and that is it. So everything else I make is just profit. You know, it doesn't cost me anything to do customer service. So to say they've lost $200,000 somehow is really quite to my amazement.
I would like to see where all the money had gone.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone's got to say on that, or should we move on to the next subject?
A few more things to say. Has anyone got any, well, name me some consoles and I can sort of tell you how portable Game Maker will be to them. That may be useful to the listeners. There's also another console called Pandora. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. I don't think it's particularly popular yet because it's quite new. But it is, in a sense, the perfect console. And open source operating system, things like that.
I think I've heard of it. Is it actually available now yet or not?
I think it is just available, or at least they've taken a load of pre-orders on it. I think it is. But that would be the perfect console to develop for.
I don't imagine it will be able to compete with the likes of Microsoft and Sony, though, and getting them into people's homes.
No, I suppose not, because I don't think they have any physical distribution outlets. I think it's entirely distributed online. Though, who knows, eh? It's games industry, isn't it? So, who knows what could happen. Wii-wise, it's a difficult one, again, because there is no sort of official development output for that. There's WiiWare and things like that.
Well, not only that, making the games for us would be awkward.
For the Wii?
Yeah, well, because you'd have to incorporate all these different controls to get all the different... Because, you know, Wii has, like, the sensitivity and stuff. Sensitivity? What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah.
It has motion sensing.
Yeah, the best thing about the Wii, though, is the fact that you've already got a mouse and a clicker. Whereas on the PSP, yeah. You don't. The DS, you've got a mouse and a clicker as well. It's just stylus. Most Game Maker games, I'd say, are mouse-orientated. Some of the best ones are, at least. How are you supposed to do a mouse-orientated game with the PSP? Almost impossible. So I think it wouldn't be the wisest console to start with.
Very true. I guess that's why in their latest competition they've said that games must only use the arrow keys and one other key and not use a mouse.
Yeah, it's probably true. Though if they're looking at iPhone and Android, I think that's rather silly as well, because I know the Android phones have only one button on the bottom, they have a trackball and a touchscreen, so where are the arrow keys kind of thing? It's crazy. But yeah, you can see by those competition rules that they're definitely going for the PSP there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you, James, and everyone else. Next up, I think we're going to talk about Yo-Yo Games Instant Play. And we can talk about Firefox and that as well, because I know you've now you switched from Firefox to Chrome, you said earlier on your Twitter.
Just earlier today, yeah.
Okay, we got news today that Instant Play didn't work with Firefox 3.6. That's a recent release from Mozilla. And what about Chrome? Does it work on Chrome, anyone?
Never been developed for Chrome. It's under development. Apparently, supposedly, but they haven't got to look at it yet because they were trying to update it to work with GameMaker 8 first.
Right, okay. As of yet, there is no Chrome build. I think someone may have written one unofficially, but they haven't had time to look. And they've been concentrating all of their efforts on making it with GameMaker 8.
Yeah, and whenever we've seen new releases of Firefox, there's always been problems with their Instant Play plugin as well in the past, so you would have thought they'd have got their act together by now.
Yeah, I would have done. I think the statistics from Mozilla show that something like 90% of plugins still work whenever there is an update. So I think they must be relying heavily on certain APIs and things in Firefox, which just make it not work when they update. So really, they have to be always on the ball with this kind of thing, or else there's no point in having Yo-Yo games at all, is there? Because if Instant Play doesn't exist, you might as well just get back Game Maker games.
The problem with their Firefox plugin in the past has not been an incompatibility with the plugin, but it is that within the plugin they have chosen to limit its compatibility up to a certain version number, as in the current version. So when a new one's come out, all you've had to do to make it work again is open the source of it, change the number, and then it works.
Yeah, I've seen this before in a lot of things. Like you can get certain skins and themes for Firefox, which you increment one update, like 3.5.6 or 3.5.7, and the theme doesn't work at all because it just says this theme is not compatible. It's the author's fault. When they publish the plugin, they can specify exactly what versions it works with from their testing. So it is just a matter of games being able to judge what will work and what won't, because I don't suppose they do want a plugin out there which doesn't work with the version of Firefox, but says it does.
Yeah, Firefox, they have like a thing on their website which says that you're not meant to specify that it should be able to work with future versions. You're meant to do it manually.
Yeah, well, they should release Yo-Yo Games should release the new version as soon as an update for Firefox comes out, instead of, in the past, we've always had to wait, you know, 2 or 3 days or longer to get it to come out.
Yeah, well, we do know that Yo-Yo Games are the fastest moving people, you know, because I don't think the relationships and communication in Yo-Yo Games is fantastic between Mark, Sandy and people like that, so you have to give them a bit of time, but hopefully they'll get sorted pretty quick, because, you know, Firefox 3.6 is a pretty major update. So, that's how I stand.
I just wish they'd hurry up and get something working with Chrome, because I've been going to Game Jolt to play quite a lot recently, because their online play technology just works.
Yeah, and I don't really know how to do that, because that's probably quite clever.
I think that's just a Java launcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a virus checker or anything, and it doesn't strip the data. It just saves the .exe somewhere and then runs it.
I like to be able to use things like that, though, rather than downloading and extracting.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's so much easier. You know, it's the theory behind Yo-Yo Games is actually really quite fantastic, and I'd love to build something like myself, because it's really collaborative. There's everyone joining in with all the comments and things, but really, they ruin everything without the instant play. That's the key thing. And whoever came up with it, what a great idea. So, you've just got to fix it now and make it work with Chrome, because, you know, they're advertising all over the UK, Chrome, so...
Yeah.
It's a difficult one.
Was Yo-Yo Games the first website to have any kind of Game Maker Instant Play on it?
It didn't have it initially, no.
Was there something comparable on another Game Maker-related website and then Yo-Yo Games took it, or...?
No, I'm pretty sure that Yo-Yo Games were the first people to have it.
Well, there was GM Bed.
That was after Instant Play as well, I believe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because I've seen quite a few sites have added similar things... or Java launches to their sites over the past year or so.
I think it's been as a result of Yo-Yo Games coming up with it.
Yeah, I'd have to say that. Okay, anyone else got anything on that?
Well, I think no one will agree with me, but I've feared downloading games because I like to keep them organised and then I like to know where they are. But...
Yeah, I don't really like it that when you download the Yo-Yo Games games, they don't have a tool for you to select which games you want to delete. You just have to go through and delete them yourself. I'm going to go on to talk about Game Maker Indie Magazine, produced by Brian Petcher.
This is a very good magazine.
A very good magazine? It's not as good as GM Weekly.
That's nowhere near as good.
Sure it is.
Shut up.
Although I should be slightly less biased, really, because I think I'm going to get an interview in it.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, GM Indie Magazine is really good. Better than Markup. Better than GM Tech. Better than GM Wiki. I mean...
Yeah.
Never see any typos in it. The design is consistent.
The layout is what makes it so good.
Always lots of fresh, original content, interesting interviews. I mean, that one last week, oh, that was really good.
It was, wasn't it? So much content. I can't believe they came up with so much. It's fantastic, you know.
Very
so good. Yeah. Actually,
I'm just glad none of us are allergic to sarcasm.
No, if you Google GM Indie, the first results on Game Maker Blog.
I have to do that now.
Yeah.
Which one is it? Is it the second one? Or it's fourth. Oh, it's fourth one.
Issue 4, the poor one.
The poor one.
That's it. There are less than 2 pages.
Matt Hay, who used to edit Game Maker Magazine.
With me?
Who's that there?
He used to edit the magazine with me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Before he fired me.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. When I was writing about him joining the team, I was looking at the previous posts we'd written about Game Maker Magazine to see if I could dig up anything, and I remember there was a post about he made on the Game Maker community slaying off the team members.
Yeah, I improved that a lot, and you went and fired me like that. It wasn't very...
Have you forgiven him now?
Yeah, we're good friends, actually. Anyway, he is working on GM Indie now.
There haven't been any of the big Game Maker magazines releasing an issue for a very long time now. We haven't seen Markup for over a year, I'm pretty sure. And Game Maker Tech, I'm not sure when the last one was, but it was probably a good few... 5 months back or something.
We're going to release one at Christmas, but it never went ahead.
Yeah, I know Kay was working on one for Christmas.
Yeah.
I promised I'd submit some articles to it, but when the time came, he just said, oh, no, we're not going to do it. I'm not sure if it's dead for good or if he plans to bring it back at some point, because he's kept all the stuff up there, but he just hasn't really said much about what he plans to do in the future, other than nothing in the immediate future.
I think it's as good as either dead or dead enough. If it's going to come back, I doubt any of the content on any of the content will be used in it.
There really isn't many contributors out there.
Yeah. Quite strange that we used to have two strong magazines, and then Markup went, and then GM Tech went, and now we've got nothing.
We've got GM Indie.
Oh, well, yeah, now we have GM Indie. Thank you, the saviour.
So we've got next to nothing.
You can't compare GM Indie to GM Tech in Markup.
Well, you can, but you'd be an idiot too.
We just did, I think. I suppose I should talk about the Game Maker Blog contest now. Some shameless self-promotion, as I think Jack wrote that in there.
Part of GM talk without shameless self-promotion.
I try to stay away from the self-promotion. I just see what I wrote about it. Yeah, I had a few comments saying that Game Maker Blog didn't have a fav icon, and could we please add one? And it's a good idea. It's something that I should have done a long, long time ago and neglected. I think we may have had one on a previous design of the website, but then when we switched over to the new WordPress theme, it obviously disappeared and I just never got around to adding one. So I decided we'll have a competition to design a fav icon and a Twitter avatar as well, because our Twitter avatar isn't very good. It's just something I knocked up pretty quickly when I created the Twitter account, I think. It's very old, very grey, a bit like the site. Want something more interesting, so I thought we'd have a competition to get some good entries, because I'm not very good at designing things like that. So there's a prize, and you can choose from an upgraded version of Game Maker 8, thanks to Sandy for finally getting back to me about that, or an indie game of your choice up to the same value, or some advertising on the site. I just thought I should add some other prizes in case people already had Game Maker 8 Pro, because I know quite a lot of our readers already have the upgraded version. There's details on the website if you're interested in that. Our next topic is Game Maker Cracks, recently posted at YouTube and on other websites.
I can't remember if it was Jack or someone else linked me to a page which had a list of, on Twitter, a list of tweets which had Game Maker tagged in them, and about 50% of them were linking to a crack.
Oh dear. No, I haven't seen that. What astonished me is that Yo-Yo Games weren't really sending any DCMA notices or anything until, or noticed that these cracks were around anywhere. I saw that someone reported one of them on YouTube to them on Twitter, and somebody said, oh great, can you send me any more? And then he reported the original video, which had a link in the description to some file sharing site where you could download it. And the video was eventually pulled after about 3 or 4 days. I sent Sandy a spreadsheet of about 20 other Game Maker cracks, probably about a week ago now, and he said he'd get them removed, but so far they're all still up there as well. Yeah, there are quite a lot. I'd never really searched for Game Maker 8 on Twitter before.
It wasn't me that searched it, somebody linked me to it. But it's pretty kind of astonishing how many people are getting away with it, really. I mean, I swear there wasn't half as much when GM7 came out.
I wasn't really around in Game Maker when 7 came out, so I don't know what the effect was then. I know that everyone had a copy of 6 that was cracked.
Yeah, that's because it was easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just copy the code, couldn't you, from some website and... Yeah.
But no, I don't think there was anywhere near as much as this for Game Maker 7. I guess they're more popular because there are people that are now sort of really pissed off that they can't upgrade from 7 for free.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason, because they just feel they should be entitled to a free upgrade forever and ever. And I've seen people say, you know, right on the forums, oh, you broke your promise, you promised everyone free upgrades for life, but there's never anything like that said anywhere, so I don't know where these people are getting that idea from at all.
It's just an assumption, Philip, that they're trying to change into facts to while away out of not having to spend $25.
You know, I upgraded pretty much as soon as I'd seen it had been released, and it worked fine.
Yep.
I haven't had any problems with the soft wrap on Game Maker 8 at all.
No, not at all. Neither me.
Did you have problems with Game Maker 7 or not?
I had one, which was sort of, last year I had to change my OS several times, because it kept crashing, and so after I'd hit the activation limit, I had to keep asking Softwrap to help me out with it, and one time they lost my email,
Yeah.
So for about 2 weeks I was without anything, and eventually I got it back, but only because I'd asked the help desk.
Yeah.
And the help desk was really quick about it.
I've contacted had to contact them a couple of times last year for GameMaker 7, but when they did reply, they replied quickly and it was fixed. But they did not always reply, even when I gave them all the information they wanted in the email.
Yeah, I mean, apart from that one time, all the other responses I got were within 24 hours, so it was fairly good.
And do you use the YoYo Games help desk to fix it as well?
No, I usually start off by emailing SoftRap, because that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what I've done in the past, but I contacted the help desk recently about an issue, and it took quite a long time, I think 4 days to get a response.
Yeah, the help, it depends really with the help desk. They're different sometimes. Sometimes it'll take a couple of days. I actually had one, it was in 2008, I think. It took 8 months.
Oh, dear. It's pathetic.
I got a response from it, and I was like, what the hell? I don't remember ever saying
this. Your problem was probably solved about 6 months back.
Yeah. It was about a spammer that people still talk about. It's really stupid. Mm. On the YoYo Games forums.
Yeah, I've seen.
And they sort of... he'd long since been banned several times and disappeared. But then I got a response saying that they'd sort of... they couldn't find any posts from the spammer, so they didn't know what to do.
Probably removed them a few months back.
Yeah.
James, do you want to have anything to say about cracks?
I think the biggest issue for GameMaker is using SoftRap in any way at the moment. And if there's any issues they have with pirated serial codes and things like that, then they have to go through SoftRap in order to get them removed. If I were to find an illegal serial code on the internet, it would take me 2 seconds to go and remove it. The DS GameMaker, I think it's a bad idea for them to contract the serial code and things outwards.
Why would they have to go to SoftRap to get cracks of their software removed? Surely they can just report it themselves.
I mean, illegal serial codes, you know, there used to be an illegal serial code for GameMaker 6 called Freeware. Just put a new name as Freeware and the serial code as whatever it was, and then that was it. You could easily remove that if they wanted to, but with SoftRap, no, they could. You know, they'd have to contact SoftRap, wouldn't they?
But the cracked versions that exist, they've removed the SoftRap wrapper from the software, so it's not going through SoftRap to validate the illegal versions.
Yeah, it's a different problem then. I don't really know how to solve that. I
don't think they can solve it.
I used to have this problem about 5 months ago. The way I solved it was by encrypting my source code. And you can still get the source code out of it, but it eliminates 99% of the hackers who can't be bothered. You know, it takes a lot more work.
Yeah, but it only takes one person to put one copy online, and then everyone can go download it and you lose thousands of dollars, presumably.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The only other thing you can do, and I've discussed this with the developer of Wii Game Studio, you know, to end, is make it so you can shut down any individual copy of the software. But then you get into accusations of, you know, you've got a virus on the PC because you're watching what I'm doing and things like that. So it's very careful, but, you know, the problem is you've got to remove all the copies that are already out there, and you can't do that.
I've read about something along these lines in a PC Gamer, I think it was, though. It's the thing that piracy is always going to be a problem. So what you've got to do is you've got to make sure that the DRM you choose doesn't limit people that are buying it legitimately.
It's always a hard balance to strike, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I limit proper customers anyway, really, at all. I think it can be done well as long as you don't contract it out to someone else. If you do it internally and you do it well, then all your support requests, everything like that is yours, and you can answer them within 5 minutes if you want, or leave it as however long you like. So your games might get more customers if they didn't use SoftRap. There wouldn't be so many pirates if they didn't use SoftRap, because SoftRap is so bad in itself that people decide to use a crap version. I think that may be one of the problems. I would certainly say it was a reason.
In that case, though, I'd expect those people would mostly buy the SoftRap version and then use the crack. So although they're using the crack, it wouldn't matter too much because they'd bought the program.
Yeah, but you can't tell. There's no way to know if someone's gone and bought it, so anyone can say that, can't they?
Yeah.
Couldn't YoYo Games build something into GameMaker so that when you upload a game or create an executable, it somehow includes your something to do with your registration details in there, so that then when games are uploaded to their website, they can tell if there's a suspicious number of games uploaded using a particular serial number, and then if it is, they can ban those accounts.
Yeah, they could, but if it was serial codes that were being passed around, then it'd be easy for them to get it removed. The problem is it's a crack, and then I don't think Yu-Gi-Oh! Games would have any way of knowing if it was uploaded using a crack or not, because the crack in itself would report that the version was genuine, wouldn't it?
An expansion of that idea, which I have seen suggested before, is that you have to have a Yo-Yo Games account to use it, and then you link GameMaker to the Yo-Yo Games account.
So you'd have to log in to use GameMaker.
Yeah, that is a good idea, because I thought about this as well, linking it to a forum account.
But wouldn't that prevent people who didn't have internet access from using it?
No, yeah, sure it would. That's what I do with mine. Every time my software starts, it checks a serial code against the online database. And I think there's about 5 users on the forum who get annoyed about it. But that's it. Everyone else doesn't have a problem. You know, the internet is pretty widespread these days. So.
Yeah, nowadays.
Yeah, I would say that. If it was maybe 5 years ago, it'd be more of an issue.
Yeah. And because of the fact that every serial code is validated on the internet when the program starts, it keeps the price down because there is virtually no piracy. If there was a lot of piracy, I'd put the price up to account for it, but I don't have to, so the less pirates, the lower the price. So maybe you again should think about that.
Yeah, very true. I think the price is fine.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit better than ESG Maker, and it's got obviously a much longer reputation, and Yo-Yo Games is actually a really good site for the gameplay and things like that, so they're probably about right with the price. I don't like the way they make you pay for upgrades, though. That would really annoy me. I'm still using the free version, actually.
Right. Do you have GameMaker 7 Pro?
No, I've never had the Pro version.
Oh, okay.
Ever.
I upgraded long, long ago, and then recently just upgraded when the latest version came out. I'd like to thank Andrew, Jack, and James for being with us here today on this episode of GM Talk. We may do another episode in the future. If we do, we hope you find out about it. And please give us comments on the show so if we do it again, we can improve it. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. To find out if there's another episode, follow us on Twitter at GameMakerBlog.